Hi, I'm Monkey Doo, and this is Electric Sisterhood Podcast Episode 34, titled I'm the Geek, She's the Dork.
Gaming and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sista.
I'm Pandalicious.
And I'm Magic Mystic Girl.
And this is episode 34 of our podcast.
Woo!
Yay! Yay! Today's broadcast is brought to you by the letters E, S, and H.
Go figure.
Go figure! Woo! No. Actually, it's being brought
okay,
to you
no,
by...
if she was counting, then you could do the... Then you could. Do
yeah,
that.
Really, if I go one, E-S-H, Yeah, no. Actually, this episode is being brought to you by Mountain Dew, drink some!
Yay. Oh, God, you do not have Mountain Dew today, do
you? Oh, yes, I did, and I'm drinking
oh,
one
Lord,
as
have
we speak.
Mercy.
On all your souls.
Oh, no.
Before we get to the fun stuff, we have to do the business. We always have to do the business because the business is what hopefully will eventually pay for the fun stuff. So,
without any... And the business has to get done just like everything else.
You got to keep hitting us up on the website, people. www.electricsisterhood.com. Or if you need the short address because you've got what the doctors recall... what they refer to as a short attention span.
Like me.
Huh? No.
What?
What was I talking about? Oh! ESH.mobi. That's ESH.MOBI. Short address gets you to the same place. So you can tell
bam,
all your friends.
There.
Exactly. Just like Emerald would say. Bam, boom, bada, bam.
Boom, bada, bam, bam.
All right, so moving on. The next thing that I got to talk about is you got to keep hitting up the Freshware store. We're going to be adding some more things over the next couple of weeks to the store. We'd love it if you'd buy it because that will help us, like, make money. And making money is a good thing because that means that we could give up day jobs. And, you know, who doesn't want to do that? Anyway.
And we could buy presents and do better sweepstakes so you get cooler shit.
Yeah, that would also help, too.
So you're helping us give you nice shit.
I like how you said that. I
help
wish I had thought it.
Help you.
Get
help
shit.
Help you.
Help me help you get cool ESH shit.
Yeah. What she said. Yeah, what she said. And then the last bit of business that we have is, of course, our candy bitch.
Candy bitch.
We do have a candy bitch this week.
Yay, who is it?
So, drum roll, please. Sayo-chan, you got candy, bitch!
And you better eat it, too.
Yeah, eat that candy, bitch. Yeah, you know you
oh,
eat it.
Snap.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, yes, I did.
Yes, you did.
In any event, keep hitting us up on the website, people. Comment on our posts. Fill out the form using the Hit Us Up link. And you can be entered in to win candy or a t-shirt. And we're going to have new t-shirts that we're going to be giving away in the new year. And hopefully some other things, too. So with all that said and done, I'm going to pass the mic of 1,000 truths to Pandalicious.
Oh, me.
Yeah. You're up. Rock the mic.
Yay.
Rock it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to stay on my anime front this week. Thank God Christmas came around. Got a lot of gift cards because people don't know what to buy me. And
you too, huh?
Yeah, but I'd rather that because it was either, you know, give me gift cards or, you know, try to understand WoW enough to understand that, you know, you could buy a prepaid card. You know, would have liked that too. But anyway, you know.
Yeah, because, you know, I was going to give you a prepaid card for WoW.
Yeah,
I got one.
Yeah, I know, using a goddamn gift card. You know, next time I'm just gonna give you like Lederhosen and just be like, ha ha, do something WoW related with that, bitch. But please continue.
Actually, I probably could.
I know.
She could manage it.
But so I went to a Walden bookstore, and of course the place I hit up is the graphic novel section, and I grabbed all, you know, the next ones of all the collections I already have, but I saw one in particular that caught my eye, and I was very surprised by it, actually, because I was feeling kind of randy, you know, kind of, you know, sexy, and I kind of was feeling kind of demonic, so this, you know, this title really kind of...
Because yeah. Who doesn't feel sexy and demonic in Walden books?
Every time I walk in there, it's like, Dominoes! And I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, the Omen music, yeah. And
Omen.
And the manga I'm going to talk about today is called Mark of the Succubus. It's released by Tokyopop.
Yay.
It actually got a lot of attention at the Uprising manga competition.
Rising Stars of Manga.
Yeah, those guys. Thank you.
The Uprising manga. That would be awesome. That'd be the awesomest name for a manga group ever.
Oh my god, it's like Manga Rising and like be a picture of a volcano and like a book out of it.
That'd no,
like-
no, no. The best thing would be like an Uprising manga and there'd be like a volcano and then shooting out of the volcano top is like a little anime dude with like glasses and a manga going, yay, yay, yay! Yeah, that would be awesome.
See, I had this vision of manga in space shooting those lasers like from Star Wars.
No!
The Manga Rebellion.
Oh my god. Sweet.
So regardless, it got a lot of attention and it did very well. The story is by this girl named Ashley Rati. I can't write T, I think. And her name is spelled really funky. And the art is done by a woman named Irene Flores. And, you know, so I picked it up. I bought it on a whim. And it was one of the best whims I've ever had.
That like, sexy demonic one?
Yes.
Okay.
And I don't get them very often.
Yeah, I should hope not.
But regardless, you know, and I was kind of, you know, getting the idea, okay, you got a succubus, you know, and she's got to do her thing, and it's not going to be all that interesting, but it really is, you know, it's kind of got that angsty, yeah, I'm a teenage succubus, you know, I'm going
to
be...
Okay, all right, I got to stop you right here. You have to explain to the people what a succubus is.
It's a demon that uses the power of seduction to kill people.
Nice. Please continue.
So she's young. She's like high school looking. I mean, granted, you know, demons don't actually, you know, go by the same, you know, laws of years as we do. So it doesn't actually explain exactly how old she is, but she looks like she'd be in high school, you know, and she's preparing for her succubus license, you know, kind of like a driver's license. So I thought that was kind of nifty.
Nice.
So, and she has to go down to the human world to take the exam. So, you know, her mentor brings her down. Her name's Maeve, by the way. Mm-hmm. Brings her down, you know, gives her a pair of shorts and, like, some leggings and, like, a shirt and says, all right, I'll
human
bring you
clothes.
Some more
clothes. He gives her human clothes.
Yeah, which apparently is slut wear. But and he's like, I'll come back
you can't
in a couple
be a succubus
days.
If you're frumpy.
True. I mean, you know, Edith Bunker wouldn't be a successful succubus.
Well, I'm just saying.
But you never get the idea.
Considering the stuff that's on the internet these days.
Yeah, depending upon your fetish, you know, if you have a mommy frumpy thing, sure. Okay, fine. But, in general...
Regardless, so, you know, she's down there preparing for it, you know, and her teacher wants to give her, you know, an idea of what it's like to be down in the human world. So, you know, there are rules. You know, you can seduce people, but you got to kill whoever it is that you seduce. You have to put your mark on them. You have to draw your mark. Because when you graduate and you get your license, when you mark someone for death, that's the mark that will appear on their body.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she's got to come up with that. You know, she can seduce, but she can only seduce those who, you know, she's going to kill. You know, she can't fall in love with whoever she kills, and she just can't kill to kill. Like, she's got to have, you know, there's reasons. You don't, you know, you just choose them out and you do your thing.
There's no, I choose you to die.
Well, I mean, you could mark
totally
them that way.
I choose Pikachu to die.
But I mean, regardless.
I choose you, Pikachu.
So she's down there, you know, and she's in high school and she's trying to understand, you know, and she's really kind of funny because she gets down there and she's like, oh my God, there's all these humans. What do I do? Okay, smile. It's like, can you tell me where the street is? And they're like, oh, well, you go down this way. It's like, wow, humans are so helpful. I feel kind of bad that I'm going to kill some, but still, you know, and she's very upbeat for a demonic demon.
She's a perky succubus.
She doesn't fit the profile.
Yeah. She really doesn't. You know, and there's like her principal who's back in the demon world doesn't like the fact that she's down here and is kind of hoping she'll fuck up. You know, and I think there's this little tit of political power that, you know, if Maeve does really well, that she'll take over where the principal is. So she's kind of like, let me send a minion down there to make sure that if she breaks rules that I know about it.
Okay.
But this is only the first manga, so, you know, they're not going to tell me the whole story right up front.
Right.
So,
I've read it too. It seems like that sort of thing where someone, whether it's her teacher or her former teacher, the principal, or whoever, someone has set her up to fail. And because she's a nice person, you know she's going to fail.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
So, I mean, and I, you kind of feel bad for her because, you know, like she said, you're not supposed to fall in love with, you know, whoever you mark, and, you know, you're supposed to just kind of do your thing and not be detected. Well, she's in high school, and of course what happens in high school, you think you start liking people, or rather, you think you're in love with people. And who does she find herself attracted to? The most indifferent, artsy kind of boy.
Emo boy?
Sort of.
Not emo, technically.
Not
just uninterested
in a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, he comes home every day, his name's Aiden, and his father's like, have you done your,
Wait, how can you be named Aiden and not be emo?
I don't know, but he's not particularly emo.
He's not like, oh my God, this is so emotional and it's trippy. He's just like, whatever.
Yeah.
More or less.
Apathetic so, boy.
Yes.
In okay. a sense. And he's got this girlfriend
on
who's
his
a
way
wicked
to emo.
Bitch.
Okay.
Yeah, he's on the road to emo. You know, and he's got this beautiful girlfriend, but she's an uber bitch.
She's a raging bitch.
She's a raging bitch, you know, and she's just like, you know, you're supposed to help me pick out lipstick. Yeah, and I can't match my outfit without your decision. You know, and he's got a really cool friend, Dev, who's like, dude, you need to dump this hoe right
oh my God,
now. And he's all
he's
like,
always,
Dev.
He's always doing impersonations of the girlfriend.
Oh God, she's a bitch. You know, and Maeve comes in, you know, and doesn't actually, like, pursue Aiden. He just kind of bumps into her, and they strike up conversation. So it's not like she's, like, tracking him and, you know, planning to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they don't go into a lot of the specifics as to what her test entails. You know, 1 minute, you know, she's preparing for it, and then 4 pages later, she's like, oh, my God, I passed it. You know, so you're like, okay. And you know,
well,
she draws.
Well, no, didn't, wasn't there, there was like one panel of explanation where the teacher was sitting there, you know, reading off questions.
He was reading off questions.
For a practice test.
It was like,
so the store clerk says to you, I'm sorry, miss, we don't have that in your color and your size. What is the incorrect response? Asking the diet another color. And you know, there's all these weird responses.
Oh, yeah, they were. Like, none of them would be things I know I would say. But but regardless. You know, but she ends up passing it, you know, and she's made her little design, you know, and the art lifestyle kind of is coming through this manga a little bit because, you know, she starts talking to Aiden, who likes to play guitar, you know, and he brings her to his house one day and he's just playing for her, which apparently he doesn't really do for many people, you know, and she's like, wow, she's like, she, like, talks to other demons. She's like, they don't do things like this back in the demon world. You should really, it's interesting. You should, like, look at it just for the sake of, you know, looking at it. She's like, someone wanted to draw this picture, and they just did it. They didn't care, you know, and she's like, I wish I could study more about it. So, you know, the whole, like, bohemian lifestyle with the art and, you know, living for yourself is starting to, you know, permeate through her.
Uh-huh.
You know, so she passes, she's excited, you know, and her mentor comes down and he's like, all right, you gotta mark someone so that you can kill them, you know, and she's kind of looking around and he's all like, just pick at random and just, you know, shoot your mark out, like, say the next person who walks through the door, you know, and she's all like, well, all right, so the door begins to open and she sends out her mark and it's Dev and Aiden, and it hits Aiden, so now she's like, oh, no.
She's like, oh, no, I want to take it back.
Yeah, but you can't once it's been put on a mark.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's marked for death.
Yep.
She kind of digs him, so she doesn't want to kill him, and she's kind of got feelings for him, so she's already kind of teetering on breaking two of the three rules.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, maybe even all three, but like I said, I haven't read more than the first manga, so I don't know for sure. But I mean, you know, and I think what really drew me into this manga is the fact that, you know, this is a brand new, you know, artist and writer coming onto the scene.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you flip through the pages, you know, the art is beautiful. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, you can definitely tell that, you know, it's their first attempt at it. You know, like the faces are...
They're trying things out.
They're trying, yeah. You know, a lot of them have the really kind of semi-pouty lip going on. Like the...
I love that.
You know, and like...
Which you never see in manga, but you see often in American comic books.
Yeah. You know, and the faces are a little rounder because I think she's still, you know, gauging, but it's a great attempt. And I mean, everyone is really kind of cute. Like, everyone's got, you know, the big eyes, like, like they're all so excited and, you know. And it's really funny because a couple of times I swear Aiden looked like a girl, but it was so cute, so I didn't care. I was like, oh my God, Aiden is so pretty. But anyway.
Wow, that's a novel idea. Pretty boys in a manga.
Yeah, shut up.
You never know. Maybe the artist is like me, and she doesn't draw boys very often.
I don't know. Well, this is her first real big shot, and I commend her for it. Like, it's beautiful. I like it. And it just lets everybody know that, you know, not everyone's perfect right out the gate. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the story is intriguing enough. It's funny, and it's realistic. I mean, outside of, you know, the whole fact that she's a succubus and, you know, she's got demonic powers.
Yeah, so, you know, if you throw out the whole teen succubus demon thing, marking people for death, yeah, it's
realistic.
Quite cool.
Yeah.
You know, and I really did like it. And, you know, I would probably right now, since I've only, you know, had one manga, so, you know, I can't say that, you know.
It's the best of shit on the planet. Yeah, we know.
Right.
But what you can say is you would give it a...
3 out of 5 right now. It's on the road to goodness. I just haven't had a chance to get more money to buy the next one. And, you know, when you guys buy stuff, I could probably get more money to read and buy more stuff.
That's right.
Should get
feed
on that.
Her need, people, because I can't afford her.
Feed the addiction.
It's like a syringe hitting my arm. Anyway, that's a bad quote.
Don't do drugs, kids. And if you
really though, guys, I don't think kids actually listen to our podcast.
Well, I was about to say that kids really shouldn't listen to our podcast, which means they probably do.
But yes, regardless,
yes, it's
adults
exactly
and kids alike should not do drugs.
Yeah, drugs are bad. Okay,
unless you're dying of cancer, and then it's okay.
Yeah, then it's okay.
Yeah, live it up.
Wow.
Anyway,
that totally brought the whole mood to a different place.
And if you're dying of cancer, don't waste your time listening to us.
It's not a waste of time. We could bring laughter to their lives.
That's true. Yeah,
okay?
That's true.
There's nothing better after chemo than a laugh. Because you need it. No, you remember
so
when
you
our...
have radiation coursing through your body and you're ready to vomit. So you
well, no,
vomit.
No. You were, Panda, you remember when our aunt that had lung cancer was on chemo?
Yeah.
And we went to the hospital? And the only time she would perk up was when one of our other aunts would show up because she would just crack jokes the entire time.
Yes. Yes, I know that.
And she would just laugh.
But, okay.
Anyway, that's another podcast.
Yes, a much more serious podcast.
Yeah, we don't want to go there right now. I'm getting ready to go to Vegas. Fuck that shit. We need to bring it back up.
Sorry.
Three out of five.
Sorry about the downer there, guys.
Yeah.
Three out of five. It is good. If you're in, you know, a Walden Books or a Borders or wherever you get your anime and manga.
Wherever fine manga is sold.
Flip through the pages. See what I'm talking about. And hey, if you end up buying it, then, you know, give me some props. And that's really all what I got for you. So
reading is fundamental. I'm sorry, I just remember those damn commercials, okay? And it's like, all of that crap and the more you know thing, like sometimes I'll dream and I'll hear that damn music and the star will shoot across my brain. And I'll wake up and go, damn you, NBC.
Doom, doom, doom.
Exactly.
What I'm going to do is, because I'm so psyched about the prospects of this anime, and
manga.
I love to see
it's a manga.
I'd love to see this as an anime, though. That'd be actually kind of cute.
Yeah, that would be cool.
But I'm going to give the mic of 1,000 truths, which has now been imbued with demonic power.
Nice!
Well, we're fooling around with the mic again.
Yep. It's like all glowing black and like purple and shit. And I'm going to give it to magic. So what are you going to do with it, magic?
I'm going to turn it into a blaster weapon. So it's now a blaster weapon with demonic powers.
Demonic power!
Awesome! You're on the dark side of the force. Sweet!
Yeah. I've always been on the dark side of the force.
I haven't always been on the dark side of the force. Sometimes I go over there, but then I have to come back.
Because you're a pussy.
I have my moments.
I'm sorry, did you just on the damn show call me a pussy?
Yeah.
Fuck you and your entire family.
That's you too, darling.
So, I've told myself to go fuck myself plenty of times.
Good.
Fuck you.
You're supposed to take advice.
Fuck you. Go ahead, magic.
Oh, you're all right, awesome.
Break it up, break it up. Break up the hissy fit. All right, so I have had a Star Wars week, basically.
Ah, that's blaster weapon. Okay.
Yeah, that kind of blaster weapon. Gotcha. Where did you think the dark side jokes came from?
My brain.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to drink some more Mountain Dew. Please continue.
Yeah, that's a good
boy.
Idea. All right, so I am actually talking about two different things today.
Okay.
I'm talking about Star Wars Clone Wars, which was the animated TV series.
Okay.
And I'm talking about Star Wars Battlefront 2, which is the game for the... I think it's for everything, actually.
Yeah, but Battlefront is on everything now.
Yeah, they had it on Xbox, PlayStation, and PC.
Yep. And Battlefront was even on GameCube.
Was it?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yes, son!
Sorry. What?
Yay, yay!
Okay.
If we're going to go that ebonic on it, I might as well, you know, join in.
Yay, yay!
Sorry.
Pump, pump, motherfucker, pump, pump!
No, sorry.
Skeet, skeet, skeet!
Sorry.
You guys make me really uncomfortable when you go there.
Sorry.
Sorry. We'll come back. Here, here, I'll come back into proper language land.
Yeah, me too.
Yay. All right, so Star Wars Clone Wars ran in 2002 and 2003. Well, the first ran in 2002 and 2003. I'm sure they probably still do reruns of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was actually between the Attack of the Clones, which was the second of the remakes, and Revenge of the Sith, which was the third of the remakes, or the last of the remakes. So episodes
you mean
two
prequel.
And three,
it's not a remake. It's a prequel.
Yeah.
It came before.
Yeah, it wasn't a remake because that would say that it existed.
Yeah, but they started...
See, here's the thing. A remake means that the movie came out and then somebody remade that entire story again.
Okay.
They didn't remake this story.
War of the Worlds would be a remake.
War of the Worlds is a remake.
And it didn't drive people to their death.
Yeah. Episodes 1, 2, and 3 are a prequel, even though they came out after the first series that we saw, it's a prequel. Kind of like The Scorpion King is the prequel to The Mummy and The Mummy Returns. Even though The Mummy and The Mummy Returns came out before The Scorpion King. Kids,
that's
have you dropped your acid yet? Keep following. Prequels that come out after the sequel? Ow. Ow. Please continue.
It's all a paradox. You need to go watch a bunch of sci-fi shows that have time travel in them. And then come back and we'll talk.
Exactly.
You'll be able to follow it if you try and watch them.
Oh, I love time paradoxes. They're so great.
Actually,
paradoxes.
Stargate SG-1 is one of my favorite shows, and Window of Opportunity, in which Jack and Teal'c get into a time loop, is my absolute favorite episode.
Teal'c is the bomb diggity.
Teal'c? You mean Teal'c?
Yeah, that guy.
You don't say it the way it's spelled.
I know. Oh, okay.
It's Teal'c.
Okay.
All right, so if we're all done correcting each other now...
Take it from the huge dork, okay? All right, so Star Wars
Ninja?
Clone Wars...
Just kidding.
Bite me!
No, she's the...
I'm the geek, not the dork.
Yeah, she's the geek, which means she's the techno whiz. I'm the dork, which means I know everything about, like, D&D and sci-fi and all that.
And I'm the wow nut.
Yeah, you're a nut, all right. Nut that needs busting. No, I didn't. Yes,
oh,
I, did.
I don't need to bust the nut. Shut up. I'm going to bust the cap in your ass.
Yeah, bring it, bitch. Whatever.
Calm it down. Calm it down.
Sorry. All right.
Come on.
I knew you were going to do that.
Sorry.
How did I know you were going to do that, though?
See, I went to a totally different place. I was thinking calm it down, and then I was going to say simmer down, and then I started thinking about that stupid stick that was on Nickelodeon.
Simmer down now.
Stick. Remember him?
Yes.
Simmer down now, Stick. Okay, anyways, so Star Wars Clone Wars, I'm going to just, you know, say this as fast as possible.
Run it.
So you can't interrupt me. It was great. The same guy, Tarkovsky.
Genndy Tartakovsky.
Thank you.
No problem.
Who created Dexter's Lab and Samurai Jack.
Uh-huh.
And it's, if you watch it, it's in that same kind of limbo that Samurai Jack was in, because it's got influences from anime, but I wouldn't call it an anime. And it's got influences from American things, you know, the typical American cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
Which, really any of that either. It's like nothing we've ever seen in the U.S. So they're like in that limbo. Somewhere in between.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But they're
kind
they're
of, what do you call it? That step in between cel-shading?
Yeah, it's like cel-shading and CG and others.
2.5D is what a lot of people are calling it. Because it's not quite 3D.
Yeah.
A lot of it is hand-drawn. There's a big CG component, and so it's that seems to be what the moniker has been now, 2.5D. Yeah.
2.5D.
As opposed to 3D
like
or
Lion
2D.
Like 1.5.
Exactly. But it's 2.5D, because it's like 2.5 dimensions.
It's not half a dimension.
See, this goes back to the time paradoxes, and if you've ever watched Doctor Who...
Go watch Sliders and Doctor Who.
Exactly. You know, boom. You just kind of got half dimensions, not completely formed dimensions.
Yeah, and then you're going to go into, like, all the tracheon particles and everything.
I didn't really want to have to go there, but we can do a whole episode on that if you'd like.
Yes, let's.
Okay. All right, so what you want to do is first you want to get you an engine that has the kind of capacitor that can handle a tachyon beam so that you can actually make a wormhole.
Let's not go that far. Basically, tachyon beams are some fictional sci-fi shit that goes faster than the speed of light.
All right.
That's all I need to know.
All right. Okay.
Okay. All right. All right.
I'll go back over here.
You go back in your corner.
I'll go back in my corner.
Back to your corner.
Scotchity right. Scotch.
Okay, watching Star Wars Clone Wars on TV was the most irritating thing that's ever happened to me. Because they were only, like, 12 minutes long, each episode. So I recommend going back and getting the DVD, because the DVD has it. They took out the openings and the endings, so it's just one long, I think, hour and a half. An hour chunk of it. So you see it all together.
Mm-hmm.
And it works so much better than 12 minutes at a time.
Well, because you have to remember, when they first proposed the idea of Clone Wars, they hadn't really intended on it being a full show. It was just these snippets that they put on in between other shows.
Yeah, it was supposed to be shorts.
Yeah, it was just these shorts that they put on basically during the commercial breaks of another show, which is 2.5 minutes, which is why it was shown...
Yeah, actually,
in those small
pieces. That's true. The very first, there are two volumes out, mm-hmm. and supposedly a third in the works, but I don't know how reliable that is. Mm-hmm. And the first one was 3 minutes per, and mm-hmm. the second one, which they made months later, after that permission to continue, was when they made the 12-minute one.
Right.
So,
because I remember watching the first ones TV.
I saw a few of them, but not many. Like, I saw the Mace Windu once, when he was fighting all on his own.
Gotcha.
I saw those. And I think I saw the Kip Fisto one, too.
Okay.
Do you know who he is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was the green amphibian guy mm-hmm. who was fighting on war. Okay, yeah, that's another thing I want to say. They did so many cool things with the lightsabers. Because they had that fight between Anakin and Asajj Ventress.
Mm-hmm.
In the rain. So they had, like, drops of water coming down and, like, fizzling off their lightsabers. It was so cool. And they did amazing things with lights, because he had the blue and she had the red lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
they'd cross their lightsabers and be like a close up, and his face would be like glowing red or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It was very, very cool.
Well, that has a big part to do with Gendy's style. Like, a lot of people don't remember watching Samurai Jack, and a lot of those things that happened in Clone Wars were things that he tested in episodes of Samurai Jack. And another thing that people don't remember is that Gendy also exec produced Powerpuff Girls. So as far as the light effects and the streaming things on the lightsabers and stuff, he'd already been playing with those effects. So yeah. It was just nice to see a project where it all came together. You know, because Samurai Jack was a lot of action, and it wasn't until later into the series that they got more into the technology thing, and so they started doing things with electricity and those types of effects. So
I can remember seeing Samurai Jack cutting through like robots and things,
mm-hmm.
which is the same thing that happened with the robots.
And so
droids.
Gendy's focus a lot was more on the action part, and so that's the thing that I did like about Clone Wars is that it did have the feel of like, I don't want to say an old west battle, mm-hmm. but the way that things were cut sometimes, you know, being in letterbox and dramatic close-ups on just the face or small actions really played on the story and what was going on between who was fighting, as opposed to just being like, okay, here's a big battle. Watch it. Explosions.
See, I think they took that a little too far, though. Because if you pay attention, if you watch it all in one chunk like they have on the DVDs,
mm-hmm.
there is no dialogue. Like, at all. There's probably, like, 10 lines in the entire hour. Because they take the movement and the action so seriously. Which, it's cool that they can do that, but kind of weird.
Yeah. Well, again, it's a holdover from Samurai Jack. You know, most of...
Yeah, he didn't talk at all, did he?
Very little talking going on. Usually it was all the environment that set things up, and then there was a little bit of dialogue before the action. I mean, there was, I think, if I'm remembering correctly, there's like one episode where there's only one sentence that's said in the entire episode plays over two pieces. Because... Yeah. The story was being told by what you saw. You didn't have to have the dialogue to get what was going on.
I think the reason it bothered me is that Samurai Jack wasn't on any other media. Samurai Jack, I met him and I learned who he was through the series. With the Star Wars characters, I read the books, I read the comics, I watch the movies. I know that I know them personally almost, and I know that they talk more than that.
Right. Gotcha.
So, well, it doesn't make as much sense.
Right. Well, it makes sense for a samurai to be quiet.
Yeah, to be very taciturn. And there's nobody there for him to talk to.
But then again, at the same time, then it also doesn't make sense for Star Wars for them to talk as much as they do because George Lucas based the Jedi on the samurai.
Based does not mean they're the same thing.
I know, but if they're based, then the Jedi shouldn't talk as much as they do. And they shouldn't talk shit. I'm just saying. Please continue.
All right. There's a lot of cool tech that you don't see in the movies. Like that, the Mace Windu scene with that giant, I don't even know what to call it, giant presser thing.
Mm-hmm.
That you never saw in the movies, I don't think. It's been a while since I saw the movies, but I don't think that was in there. And, back to the lightsaber in the rain.
Mm-hmm.
Also that scene where Kip Fisto is using the lightsaber underwater, and they never go there in the movies. And there are some cool, you see a bunch of Jedi that never really got into, I don't want to say never got into the movies, but had very small presence in the movies that, you know, are kickbacks from the comics and stuff. So it's like, oh, hey, you know, like seeing an old friend again.
Right.
So there's, Who? Let's see. Shaak-Ti, she's one of my favorites. She's that pink and white and mm-hmm. green alien with the tentacles. And Ki-Adi-Mundi, who is that guy with the pointy head.
Okay.
Yeah. There are a few others, but I can't remember who they are at the moment. See, the really cool thing about this is that they won Best Outstanding Animated Program Emmys in 2004 and 2005. So I want that series to come. I want them to make more. I want them. Yeah, I want them to remake the movies and with the series.
Not gonna happen.
I know it's not gonna happen, but yeah. I can want it to happen.
Oh yeah, you can want it all you want, and George Lucas wants you to want it, but yeah, it's not gonna happen.
I can dream.
Yeah, right, absolutely.
So I give Star Wars Clone Wars a 4.5 out of 5 because I love it, but they need to talk more.
Gotcha.
All right, now Star Wars Battlefront 2. I didn't play Battlefront 1, so. Uh-huh. I've heard bad things that Battlefront 2 is the exact same thing as Battlefront 1, but I never played Battlefront 1, so it's a totally new experience for me.
Uh-huh. And the experience has been good, bad, and different.
It's good. I like it. It's a first-person shooter, and it's one of the only ones I've ever liked. Go back and listen to the former podcast. You can hear me saying I hate first-person shooters.
Yep.
So I was really surprised how much I liked this. I started playing it over a friend's house on New Year's Eve, and we actually played all New Year's Eve.
Nice.
I think we played in campaign mode, so we were trying to take over the galaxy.
How'd that work out for you?
It didn't.
Bummer.
I was kicking his butt, and then he turned on Invincible, and it wasn't fun anymore.
Oh, yeah, that's never any good. You should always, you know, try to start the new year by overthrowing a galaxy or two, you know, if you can. That's a great way to kick off the year. I mean,
of course it is.
your endorphins are high. You've become a dictator. I mean, it's just great. It's great.
The taxes are phenomenal.
Oh man.
Taxes are finally a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. At that point, you're just like, ha, 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 pay me my subjects or die.
Yeah. Except I always played the rebels, so.
Ah. Goody, goody.
So I was trying to liberate the galaxy.
Where's the fun in liberating the galaxy? Enslave it. Just once or twice.
Just once or twice.
Just to, you know. You gotta try it out. You can't, you know, you won't appreciate the light side until you played on the dark side just a little bit.
Yeah. That's true. Without the darkness, you know, nobody can appreciate the light.
Exactly.
There's no standard to judge the light by.
Mm-hmm. You know, that was said actually very eloquently in a movie that I love. It's called Legend, and, yes! My people, I have found you. Please continue.
Oh my god, I love that black dress thing she wears. I want that.
I was like, dude, you can fucking stay with the horn dude guy. Come on. Don't stab him. Kill the fucking unicorn.
Oh, it's been forever since I watched that.
I own it. Legend is the shit.
I own it on VHS, so it's been a while.
Yeah. No, Legend is the shit.
But for those people who don't know Battlefront, what it is you play as clone troopers, which is really interesting, actually, because you usually play by, like, the heroes, and, you know, you find all the important stuff. But these are the guys that they were there for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Just kind of, like, the silent presence kind of thing. So it's fun. You play with the 501st, which is, like, the elite clone troopers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because if you listen to the chatter, they knew about Order 66 way before it ever got handed down. So,
really?
Yeah. So actually, you fight with, what was her name? Isla Sakura, who's the greenish blue one with the tentacles, kind of looks like Ula from Jabba's dancing girl there.
Mm-hmm.
And you're fighting with her on a planet, and there's all sorts of, like, horrible deadly diseases, and,
horrible deadly, or, like, just horrible, deadly deadly?
I think they were specified as flesh-eating diseases.
Ooh. Yeah, that's kind of icky.
Yeah, icky. Very icky.
Very icky.
But basically, you listen to the narrator, who's one of the troopers, and he says, you know, if it wasn't for her leadership, we wouldn't have gotten out of there alive, or sane. And then he says, what does he say? She saw her she saw us off herself, calling us the bravest soldiers she's ever seen or fought with or something. It was a good thing we were all wearing helmets because we couldn't look her in the eyes. When her death came, I hope it came swiftly, because she at least deserved that. How awful is that? So they were acting like they were like best friends with these Jedi, or well, you know, as best friend as commanders can be,
mm-hmm.
commander and subordinate can be, and they ended up killing them.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, and when you win the Kashyyyk level, we left the planet as heroes. We'd come back a few years later as conquerors. Kashyyyk was the Wookiee planet.
Mm-hmm.
So you know.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Well, I know. Just so they know.
Just so they know.
Yeah.
Just so Panda knows. Panda, yeah. You still there? Are you sleeping?
Yes, I'm here.
I can't believe you're not big on the Star Wars. How can you
be? She's not big on the Star Wars. It happens.
Yeah, I guess it does. I can't imagine.
You know what we were big on?
Like, Inca doesn't like, wow, I don't like Star Wars.
Exactly. It happens, you know. Yeah. You know what I do like, though, and I wish that it would fucking come back and or, like, be on DVD? Remember that show we used to watch with Vicky the Robot? It's called Small Wonder. Like, dude built, like, a little robot, and she wore, like, a little... She looked like Strawberry Shortcake. She had, like, on a red dress and a white little apron, and she was always malfunctioning and shit like that. But nobody knew that she was a robot.
I don't remember that one, no.
Oh, fucking...
You gotta remember that you're older than we are. In just a few years... By a lot.
Panda and I watched it together.
She's not older by a lot, but just
really, bitch,
years,
I'm only 5 years older than you. Get over it.
Yeah, just a few years can make a huge difference in kids' programming.
Yeah. Well, we watched it together after school all the time, and she used to try and dress up like Vicky the Robot, so I'm really surprised that she doesn't remember. But that's okay. It happens.
All right.
That's why you shouldn't do drugs.
Hold on.
I didn't do drugs.
Let me finish up, and you can do your thing.
Yeah, because I got like 3 seconds to do it.
Yeah, I know. All right. So you get 12, I want to say. Maybe 16. I forget exactly how many planets you can play on. I prefer the Galactic Conquest section to the story mode because it's fun. You can unlock heroes, so you can play as Windu, you can play as Yoda, the Fetts, both of the Fetts.
Cool.
Grievous, Chewie, I think you can play as Dooku. Let's see. You can save your profile, so you can keep track of your progress, so you can see exactly how many times you've killed other things and how many times you've been killed yourself and stuff.
Okay.
So you can rack up the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just lots of fun. So I give it a 4 out of 5.
Cool. Alrighty.
So I'm going to give you the demon-powered blaster rifle of 1,000 truths. What are you going to do with it?
I'm going to kind of look at it and go, tingles. Okay. I'll try and make my part as quick as possible because I know that we're running a little over on time. I was going to talk about, actually an anime, that I've been watching.
You don't watch anime. That's awesome. What were you going to talk about? You don't have to talk about it.
Yeah.
You're just like,
oh, my God, you were going to talk about anime. Oh, that's so cute. Go ahead, little game girl. Talk about anime.
No. Well,
no.
You don't do that to me when I talk about games, so I'm not going to do it to you.
Yeah, no.
I'm so excited that you finally appreciate the value of anime.
Oh, no, I appreciate the value of anime. I'm just not as into anime as some other people that I know.
Who might that be?
I don't know. I don't want to name names, Pandalicious. But I know people who have problems have addiction.
I don't have problems.
I think I'm probably worse than she is.
She is.
Yeah,
probably. I was
lend her stuff all the time.
I was actually going to talk about an anime that I watched on Anime Network called Mezzo.
Title.
Mezzo.
Mezzo Forte.
No, not Mezzo Forte. Mezzo. Because Mezzo Forte came first. Mezzo is actually new. So it picks up. Yeah, it picks up. I found out where Mezzo Forte left off.
Did you see Mezzo Forte?
I did only because I was like, have you ever heard of this anime called Mezzo Pandalicious? She's like, no, but if you want some good like anime porn, she's like, you should see you should see Mezzo Forte. So I hit the usual channels to actually pick it up.
I think I've seen a few episodes of Mezzo. I know I've seen Mezzo Forte.
Yeah, Mezzo itself is new. And on Anime Network there was actually no porn in it.
Yep.
And it focused more on the stories.
Was it by the same creators? Those people?
No.
Totally different creators?
Different group of people.
Hmm.
And
was it like the same characters?
Same characters. So you had the DSA group.
Mm-hmm.
The orange-haired girl. You picked up a new, younger girl who, in the first episode, is, like, getting beat up by people. But anyway.
And she wants to be the sidekick. Yep. I've definitely seen episodes of Mezzo.
Mm-hmm. And so I was going to talk about how jarring it was going from Mezzo Forte to Mezzo. But then something even more jarring came up that was actually game-related, so I decided that I was going to talk about it and leave Mezzo and Mezzo Forte thing for something that I write about on the website. So the more jarring thing that I want to talk about is a game called Columbine Massacre RPG.
Oh, lovely. Lovely. Wonderful.
You see why I picked it over Mezzo and Mezzo Forte?
And people complained about Bully.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm actually kind of surprised because I haven't seen Jack Johnson weigh in on this one yet, but I know it's just around the corner. Basically what happened is this guy, Danny Ladone, has created a game called Columbine Massacre RPG, and it's a game that you can actually download for free. It's available on his website. You can Google the name and be brought right to it. I believe it's columbinemassacregame.com or something along those lines. But what the game makes you do is actually
columbinegame.com.
Thank you. And what happens is when you play the game, it makes you play through the events of the day, as it's been reported by people, what's commonly known, that kind of thing, playing as the two killers and really going through what probably was running through their minds and their behaviors to actually, I think, help people kind of identify or at least be shocked by what's really going on with a lot of kids in high school, what's going on in their heads. Because a lot of people assume a lot of things with their kids and don't really know what's going on with them. So I actually think that the game, I don't want to say is a good idea because it is shocking and it does, you know, take a moment for you to actually absorb what it is that you're seeing and what's happening and what's going on because you know that it's being tied to an actual event that, you know, ended tragically. No one's trying to make light of what happened at Columbine. But unfortunately, a lot of people heard game and the title and assumed that it was somebody that was poking fun or trying to trade on a tragedy. And after reading the guy's site and taking a look at the game, I really don't think that that's what he's after. Where the big thing has come in with the game is that there's a game, an alternative video game and art festival called Slam Dance, that actually, is kind of like Sundance, but for the alternative to the alternative, I guess. And they heard about the game, tested it, and they nominated him along with 13 other games in Best Independent Game category and invited him to be at Slam Dance and debut the game and, you know, be up for this award. And he thought it was great and got all excited about it. And then that's when the blogosphere picked up on the game because I guess Slam Dance was big enough that other people heard about it and they heard about the game. Then once they saw the title, they needed to know more about the game. And then it got all over the blogosphere and people just went apeshit.
Mm-hmm. Apeshit!
Yeah, apeshito. Really bad. And at first, I was kind of in the camp along with them. You know, how could you make a game and even call it Columbine anything?
Yeah,
and then
that's your first instinct. Yeah, leave it alone.
Exactly. Too soon. All that kind of stuff. And then I decided that I really needed to take a deeper look because I didn't want to be one of those people that just jumped on the bandwagon without knowing about the topic that I was jumping on the bandwagon for or against. I go to the website, I look at all the press, I pick up an interview that Brian Crescenti did, who's one of the writers over at Kotaku.com, which I absolutely love their website. And so I'm reading through this Q&A that he's done with the guy. And obviously, the guy is really bright. This Ladone guy who made the game. He's not a dumb person. He put a lot of thought and effort.
Create a whole game.
Yeah. To put a lot of thought into the game and the concepts and what it was that he was after. At the same point, I think that he was a little short-sighted in what the mass reaction was initially going to be. But then again, it's not like it's something that he's charging for. He's not making any money off of it. It's a project that's out there just to get people thinking. And personally, good or bad, I'm one of the people that's of the mind that anything that gets people talking about things that they should be talking about that they're not,
yeah,
is going to be, in the end, a catalyst for good. Okay? Like, all the stuff with the ESRB. Yeah, the ESRB needs to be looked at, and it needs some reform, because the rating system just is not as informative, I think, as it could be for parents. But at the same time, I don't think that video games make people kill people. So I don't think that, you know, having a game labeled T that maybe should be rated M is going to result in a whole litany of children that now want to go out and kill prostitutes to take their money.
Well, seriously, think about how many people play games. And then think about how many people who kill people within that subculture. You have to be at least mostly fucked up for a game to push you over the edge like that. And I don't even think it was the game. And I don't think it was Marilyn Manson, I can tell you that.
Well, you know, the thing is, and I don't want to say that, you know, I fall in line with Michael Moore, but I'm going to have to on this one, because if you want to blame exterior things for what those kids did, they went bowling the morning before they went and they killed all those people. Okay, so now are you going to say that bowling leads to children killing children?
Yeah.
Hey, I kill things all the time, and wow, and you don't see me lopping off people's heads.
Okay, the thing is, like, you trade all kinds of stuff in WoW. I don't see you going to become a stockbroker.
Yeah, you don't see me taking down world dragons.
Okay. I play really violent games all the time.
You're extremely violent.
Bite my ass,
just
bitch.
Kidding.
Bite my metal ass. Shiny metal ass, bitch.
I'm just kidding.
I'm not violent at all. But really, so I spent a little time reading different Q&As with this guy and taking a look at the website and different press that's been on this. And it really made me start wondering, you know, is this what the industry is going to be like from now on? Every single game that comes out that has even the hint of violence or alludes to any kind of violent act, is the entire world and blogosphere going to have to light it up and now evaluate whether or not this thing is going to make you go out and kill people? I mean, Gears of War is a violent fucking game. But because it's human beings shooting at aliens, nobody talks about, well, Gears of War is going to make my kid go out and kill his entire soccer team.
They should worry about a game called Manhunt where you pretty much design your own psycho killer and you kill other people who have made psycho killers. And you get points on how, you know, creative you are about killing people. Now that game...
What about that alien game? What's it called? Destroy All Humanity or something?
Yeah, Destroy All Humans. 1 and 2. But see, the reason why they don't make a big deal about Destroy All Humans is because it's kitschy. Okay, the game plays like a B-movie.
Yeah.
And so... Everyone goes,
it okay.
Oh, it's fun. It's lighthearted. The little short alien dude is going to shoot us. Ah, ha, ha. He's going to make us dance. If we're going to be labeling things as being violent, an act of violence is an act of violence. Yeah. Okay? So shooting something is an act of violence. So now
that
are we going to...
makes you dance.
So the thing is, are we going to make the Dora the Explorer games violent? Because... stars get shot down when you're counting.
Yep.
That's an act
you're
of violence.
Stars, which could be subliminal.
You know, I mean, so we get back to nature, nurture, environment, what's already in your genetic makeup. I don't think that games make people violent. I think that a violent game in the hands of somebody who's already on the brink or is predisposed to violence to begin with, that, yeah, it could probably aid to their behavior. But as far as just taking a normal fucking person and making them, after they play God of War, want to rape and pillage and then try to beat some mythological gods, I don't see that happening. I don't see the creativity thing being a bad thing. And then you'll get people on the other end that go, okay, well, what about if they were doing something about religion and there was a game where, you know, Jesus had an AK-47 and was mowing down all the other religious, you know, figures of the world.
Hey, wasn't there a movie called, like, The Jewish Hammer where he was, like, a rabbi who was, like, killing people?
Probably.
Yeah, there was. It was on Comedy Central, and, yeah, it was a satire. Sarah Silverman was in it as, like,
his... It was serious. I seriously doubt it'd be on Comedy Central.
Hey, they have some serious stuff on there occasionally. Like, the thing that they did on Richard Pryor, which was awesome, after he died, that was pretty cool. Anyway, I'm digressing tremendously, but it's ESH, so that happens.
Yeah, they wouldn't be listening to us if they cared.
Yeah, really. But I encourage people to actually go and check out the game. It is available only to Windows users, so
lucky.
Go to the website if you got the time. Check it out. If you don't, read the press and just find out where it is that you weigh in on it. When you go to the website, there's actually a video there that's a trailer that Mr. Ledone made that you can watch where he actually talks about what his goals were for the game, and it's crossed with images that are in the game and things like that. So as far as looking at it, you know, it's an 8-bit game, so it's not like it's God of War graphics and the kids killing them or anything like that. It looks like Zelda. And so it's just these little sprites in black jackets walking around a room, and you have to set off bombs to blow up the cafeteria and things like that. So check it out, because I want to see where you guys fall on this.
Because I'm downloading it now.
Wow, see, she's already starting.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's only 27 megabytes, so.
Like I said, because it's an 8-bit game, so it's not huge. But just check it out and find out where you weigh in on it, and decide and weigh in. There are plenty of places on the web that are talking about it. Add your opinion, because people need to know where we stand on this stuff. I try not to be real issuey, but I just see more and more of this happening with...
Oh, yeah, not real issuey. Sony's going to go bankrupt.
No, I'm not... I'm not, I know. I'm not issuey.
Ninja's not issuey, like, I'm not a bitch.
Hey, I didn't write that article.
Yeah, but you didn't take it down either.
I know.
I believe in free speech. You know, and Sony is fucked. They're gonna. Have you seen the broadcast? Okay, they're
anyway,
saying.
Anyway, you're digressing, Ninja.
No. I have to say this. They are saying now that the games division for Sony is going to lose $1.4 billion.
Well, they fucked
that hurts.
Okay, the games
that hurts
division.
Spank bank.
All right, and that's the division that they were hoping would turn the profit, because most of the other departments aren't turning as big a profit as they'd like. And so for the game division, So for the game division to lose $1.4 billion with the B, not so
Mexico,
good.
Mexico, señor.
Yeah, because that would be like 1 trillion pesos. That sounds even worse.
I know it does.
Than $1 billion.
Oi, oi, oi.
Yeah, so anyway, right. Just...
Love you, Mexicans!
anybody else just flash back drawn together?
No.
The trillion peso man?
No.
Mm-mm. No,
we
I didn't.
We can rebuild him and make him even better. The first thing he did was run across the border.
Oh my god, I remember that. And then he's, like, selling oranges using his bionic power. Yes. So he would, like, be sitting down and not even move, just, like, fling his arm up and be like, I do remember the episode now that you say it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, find out where you sit on the issue and make your opinion known, because I see more and more every game that's coming out now is being overly critiqued, or before it's even come out and they've heard about it. If there's any kind of violence whatsoever, it's become a topic that I think I just see the attention getting worse and worse. And yeah, it's mislaid
it's
attention.
It's not even people who are knowledgeable about it. It's being argued by people who know nothing about games.
Well, I mean, no disrespect to Senator Clinton, but she doesn't strike me as the type of person that plays video games on a regular basis. This is just me putting ideas out there, people. But Senator Clinton just does not come across to me as a Counter-Strike type of person. I just don't see it.
Hey, I don't look like a Counter-Strike person either, but
me neither. Me neither, and I play.
Yeah. Yeah, but
I've been converted to FPSs.
but you're not a senator.
I could be.
No. You have too many things in your past. You can't run.
Shut up. Ooh, Panda's got a record, huh?
You can't run. There are things on tape and in images. You can't run, and neither can I.
Ends with that dog. Just kidding. Oh my Just God. Kidding.
I can't believe you went there. Of all the places you could have gone. That you went to the bestiality, just like boom, right there. That just kills me.
Then me say I didn't have that relations with that woman.
No, it's
I don't know. I don't know if I have to pick between
at least
if you have sex with a woman, it's a human.
At least they're still your species.
You know, like if I have to pick between being a lesbian and getting into bestiality, I'm gonna pick the lesbian because at least. That's just not going to make me definitely rot in hell. Like, there's a chance that I'm not going to go to hell if I fall in love with a woman.
Regardless, vote for me. I support them bitches and hoes.
Fuck those pimps. Vote for me. Pandalicious in 2008.
Not even. A couple
wow.
more years.
Okay.
Anyway.
Anyway, I just see more and more people picking on video games as being the issue that's doing
because,
some kind of moral dilemma.
They're just picking on games because they're impotent.
Take the responsibility themselves.
And I don't get that. Like,
I'm a bad parent. I'm going to blame you for the fact that I fucked up my kid.
Yeah, you know, it's like that song from South Park. And this is where I'm going to end. South Park the movie, when they're blaming Terrence and Phillip for Kenny dying. And they do the song Blame Canada because they don't want to think of themselves for being weak and poor-ass parents. They'd much rather just blame
Canada
and Terrence and Philip for them not actually being involved with their kids. And I'm not saying that all of Americans or all parents aren't involved with their kids or what they're doing. But what I am saying is...
Think about it this way.
They're not even a country anyway. Just kidding.
There are very few people out there killing other people, comparatively to the billions of people. So there's got to be a lot of good parents out there.
Absolutely.
The bad parents manage to fuck their kids up a whole lot worse than the good parents do.
Absolutely. I mean, and that just happens. So I'm hoping that with all the next-gen systems out now and more games coming out, things are going to look more realistic. That as people start trying to pick issue or take issue with how realistic things look and how violent they're going to get, that more of the gaming community will step up and be like, look, I play these games and I'm a productive member of society. You need to back up off the games. The games aren't the problem. Education or lack thereof is the problem.
It's the mental faculties of the people who are playing the games that are in
Inquiry. Question. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah, you should need like a gaming license.
Well,
see,
thing
that took
is
me 2 minutes to form, guys.
But you did it. You did it, and we're so proud of you. Gold star for Panda.
Yay!
But really, no, they had talked about doing something like that and actually requiring you to get a license in order to play games.
See, but with me, it was a joke.
Yeah, no, they've seriously talked about it.
Yeah, that's stupid.
It's like you're playing a racing game and you see an old lady in the street. What do? A, hit her. B,
run her ass over.
Turn up the radio station, run her over, and wait to see how many stars appear.
Anyway. Yeah.
So, just keep your eyes out, gamers, because shit's going to get thick, I think, over the next couple of months.
This is how I smell the
Did you just say this is how it started?
Yes.
Okay, and with that, I'm going to call this podcast toast.
Oh, magic.
Did you just say she's going to get What the fuck is up with you two? Please send your emails too. Because I had nothing to do with this shit. I am over here saying good night and have a pleasant tomorrow. Oh my god. This podcast is toast. And I'm not gonna toast my toast. I'm just gonna make a sandwich. And it's a plain cheese sandwich.
So she's being PC.
It's a plain cheese sandwich.
Magic, what are you doing with your toast?
Yeah, what are you doing with your toast?
I don't know. Guess I'm gonna go play Star Wars Battlefronts with it.
Okay, that's great. That's great. And what are you doing with your toast, Pandalicious?
I'm gonna toast it a little bit more, and I'm gonna cut it up, and I'm gonna put it on top of a Caesar salad.
Nice.
Be creative with the toast.
You gotta be creative with the toast. Keep hitting us up on the website, people. www.electricsisterhood.com or esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. And we're out.
We're out.
We're out.